The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Flame On. I am Brian, your host of hosts and bearest of bears. I don't know. I have everybody. Everyone's here tonight. It's amazing.
What a surprise.
Woo. Once in a year it happens.
Seriously.
I think Brian just refer to himself as the Holy of Holies?
Yes. Yes, he did.
The Holiest of Holes, yes.
Pat, can you back that up? Is he truly Holiest of Holes?
I'm like Swiss cheese, baby.
Yeah,
that's butter.
That's butter. All right, so let's go. We'll go counterclockwise here. Jeff is here.
Hello. Who dat? I've been here more than you recently.
Speaking of which, we have Oral.
Hi.
Jared is here. And Eric.
Hi.
You guys are so enthusiastic. I love it. This energy.
I gave you.
You did. And of course, the producer of producers, Pat.
Woo! What's up, everybody?
All here, and only for we're going to coast in under an hour and a half of this thing. I'm sure.
Sure.
We're not going to go crazy and talk on tangents. Now, there have not been a lot of movies that have come out lately, but we do want...
There were movies. We just chose not to watch any.
So that, to me, means there aren't any movies that we're talking about. Now, I know people want to hear about... Actually, someone asked us, specifically, I think me, but they asked us about Jupiter's Legacy.
Ascending. Jupiter's Legacy?
Yeah. Oh, that's the comic book. So Jupiter's Ascending, I just want to mention, is anyone plan on seeing this movie?
Yes. Like Jeff, Netflix.
Netflix, definitely.
Maybe yes. Redbox.
When do you want to watch it?
Maybe before I go to San Francisco?
Yeah, do you go to San Francisco?
In March.
Okay, we'll go watch it together.
Well, so, like, I just want to touch on this real quick. Why is it that this is like, Wachowski movie. This is like, they did The Matrix, they did
Speed Racer, they did Bound, the original deep cut of their collection, the lesbian movie, which...
They also did Cloud Atlas.
I never even saw that movie.
They also did the other two Matrix movies.
So basically, they've lost their credibility. Is this why people aren't going to the movie, or is it because it looks awful?
It doesn't look awful.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. It looks fantastic, but as somebody, I think I heard on the radio, they were just like, it's the Terminator in space.
Yeah.
That's exactly. It's going back into the past to fix everything.
Which, it's actually even more so, it's Terminator meets Cinderella in space.
It's a space opera.
when you meet up with Mila Kunis, she's cleaning toilets. She's a janitor cleaning, and this space guy comes in and sweeps off her feet and says, hey, you're a princess. You're actually the queen of Earth. It's Cinderella.
But isn't, what's his name? Everybody loves Channing Tatum. Mm-hmm. He's in it.
He looks kind of weird though.
He's got.
Skip it. I'll wait for Magic Sean Mike too.
Shut up, Meg. I mean,
really fast forward. Fast forward. Ooh.
I mean, Channing Tatum, I've heard, is some kind of wolf.
Hybrid.
He's a wolf.
Yeah. He's a wolf dog man. Hybrid man.
Yeah.
So like, there's all kinds of furry implications on this. Like, I just feel like there should be more buzz about this movie than there is. So I'm trying to explain it.
The real big problem with this is people bitch about Hollywood only doing updates and remakes and taking.
And this is wholly original.
This is a brand new property and nobody wants to see it.
Oh, it just looks derivative.
What about the other genre film that is, I would
the
think,
Seven
a lot.
Seven Sons?
Yeah.
That one.
Jeff
that looks
Bridges.
Cool.
That's
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore?
My conclusion of that is that it's the Big Lebowski sequel.
Yeah, because this is what happens
Tron
after.
Legacy. So it's Tron Legacy sequel, which I'd see, but you know.
Well, this is based on a book series that was very popular, I think more so in England than it was here. But from what people who have read the books have said, it is the book series in passing. It is same character names. Everything else is different.
Oh, so it's like Aragorn or that dragon movie. Everybody loved the books, and the movie came out. You're like,
I didn't love that Aragorn. Book. That book was awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Aragorn or
Aragorn?
Aragorn.
I read the three of them.
Oh,
trilogy. Well, I read two, and I fell asleep on the third one.
There you go.
All right, so we're not going to talk about actual movies, but we are going to talk about some rather big movie news. And this was big because all us fanboys who love our Marvel comic heroes were just so excited when the Sony leak came out. And Spider-Man may have a future in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then it went away with all the talk of the interview and other things about the Sony hack. But then, just what, a week or two ago, not even.
About a week.
They announced that, oh, all right, we made a deal. You get Spider-Man in your movies. We still own him, so we're going to make our own crappy Spider-Man villain movies, but we won't keep making crappy indie, what's his name, Spider-Man.
Yeah, by the way, Andrew Garfield, yeah. You're fired.
And the director, I assume.
Yeah, he wanted to leave anyway, though.
Question.
Yeah.
Is it still going to be Peter?
I hope not.
Because I don't care.
Yeah, people are like hoping it's Miles.
I absolutely hope it's Miles.
But it's not going to be.
No, right. Probably cool, not. Though.
If anything, they said they want to focus more on Peter in high school than adult Peter in the real world and all that stuff. They want to do the high school interaction.
Does that mean they're going to de-age him in the comics after Secret Wars? Is he going to be young Peter in high school again?
Well, yeah, since we're not going to have Ultimate Universe anymore.
Well, we'll get Miles from that, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it won't be Ultimate Universe. He'll be 6 months. They want to get only one universe.
Yeah, but it's going
to
be the Miles from the Ultimate Universe.
Sim it down.
I'm just saying.
Okay, in the comic book portion, can you guys explain to me what the fuck the Secret
Wars
deal
is? We will. We'll get to that.
Can I just say that I could care less about Spider-Man joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
You know what makes me mad is that the movies that I actually wanted to see, which are Doctor Strange and
the Black Panther,
have been pushed back because this is what happens when every fanboy gets his wish. The actual, like, breaking out of the major characters from, breaking out of the minor characters gets pushed to the side. Everything's been rearranged for a character who we've seen at this point, what, 5 different times?
Yep.
And we're going to not just have him in Civil War. They're making another Spider-Man movie before they release Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and the Inhumans.
But then that's on the Sony timetable, so that shouldn't impact Marvel.
But no, they're making room for it.
It's a Marvel-based movie.
Oh, they've adjusted.
They've adjusted.
Yeah,
the Marvel cinematic to fit the Sony movie?
Yep.
Wow.
All four of those movies.
Is that why they got them for free?
Well, I don't think it's free.
No, that's what they talked about. Marvel is basically not paying anything out of pocket to acquire the rights to use Spider-Man in their movie.
Well, they are also taking creative control over it for Sony. So that means they're going to get more of that unified look and feel of all the other Marvel movies.
Which
to Sony probably means cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Right. Well, Sony's we don't have to write anymore? All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean.
Because Sony makes all the money off the movie.
It's all
Sony's money, but Marvel gets to align more of their properties back into what they want to do versus.
But see, this is how you don't get your Guardians. I don't want to hear it. But this is how you don't get those movies.
Hey, you know, actually, as a sidebar, I watched Guardians recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was better the second
time. See, and I said that too. I really did enjoy it more. So.
And I watched it with Melody and she loved it and was like, you know, maybe I'm just too critical.
Okay. So
these are words I never thought I'd hear.
Really?
So that's what's going on. And the movie universe, I don't care.
Yeah. It is sad though, because I was very excited about both Black Panther and Doctor Strange, and so shifting
and
back
Marvel.
Here. Oh, Captain Marvel and the humans too.
Oh,
I think
yeah,
I've
whatever.
Shifted.
Who cares
about Captain Marvel?
Hey,
lesbians.
I don't really.
Mullet. Who cares?
I don't have much to say about Captain Marvel, although I mean, she played a huge role in one of my favorite characters' comic careers. When she was Ms. Marvel, and then Rogue took her powers forever.
Well, see, that doesn't get Rogue had it.
But no, but at the same point, it goes back to the first female-led superhero movie. And now we're pushing that back yet another year, and that's not going to come out until 2019. Now.
Does it go back further than the Wonder Woman film?
No, Wonder Woman allegedly, what, 18?
So, Wonder Woman's going to beat him to the punch?
I'm sorry, I'm with the one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, believe it when we see it. Well, All right.
That was the whole point, was that it was announced afterwards, but it was going to come out before Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and now it's not. Well, for continuing in the Marvel Universe, let's shift to the television side. I believe Pat as well, we've been really enjoying Agent Carter.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I'm glad they did the let's not explore more of her time with the Howling Commandos. As much as I wanted that at first, I really do like that they've kind of said, well, no, now we're going to explore the, sort of the, what is it? The Red Menace, the, communism scare, sort of rise of the Russian spy agency, Leviathan.
Leviathan.
Which I had no idea. I thought it had been around forever. No, Hickman wrote that and created that back when he did Secret Warriors. I knew he used them. I just thought these characters, this thing had been around.
That was completely out of his brain.
Yeah, so that was really cool to find out. But I also think it's a little less like Alias than I thought. I thought it would be a little more Alias-like from that first episode where she did the dress up and sort of worked her way in. But it's just been a lot of fun. I like it.
It's the Rocketeer in the Marvel Universe.
Yes. Oh, there you go. That's good.
And very pulpy. A very classic movie too. Mm-hmm. Very underappreciated.
I love the Rocketeer. I found my Pizza Hut cup.
Wow.
From like the kids, like personal pan pizza. I found it, like lid included. Like, oh my God. I smiled and I snatched it up. I used to drink out of that cup every meal when I was a kid.
At Club Oral.
So you're going to start bringing that to work with you and just start drinking your coffee?
No, because I know Adam already has one.
Oh, okay.
Adam already has one. It's in a display case, but I wouldn't put it past that bitch to steal from me.
Yeah, I've watched the first like 3 episodes of Agent Carter. And I think they're like what, 5 or 6?
They're almost done.
Yeah, it's like what, an 8-part, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back.
Yeah, we just had 5. Tomorrow night is 6, and then we have one more because then 2 weeks from tomorrow we get S.H.I.E.L.D. back.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think the only complaint I had was in the first couple episodes the tone wasn't really being struck consistently, because the first episode of, because, and I watched it on Hulu, so they split up every episode, and I know they aired the first 2 back to back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The first episode was really kind of serious and kind of starting the groundwork, and then the second episode was kind of silly.
It straddles the line between comedy and action, sort of in that era of genre of sort of 50s thing.
Right.
Which is more serious, but the comedic stuff, actually it reminds me of the Avengers, not Marvel.
Yeah, no,
the BBC Avengers with Jarvis and Agent Carter, kind of playing off each other. I don't know if you've probably seen a little bit of that.
But I saw the horrible movie.
No. Well, no, but I mean, in Agent Carter, you've seen that dynamic a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And they do a lot more of that. The other thing that surprises me, I thought Howard Stark would be a bigger presence in it. And even though he is in a present sense, like it's a very much about him, he is not in this story very much. So that's also kind of interesting to sort of see that world. They do get to bring in the Howling Commandos eventually. And you also get to see, I don't want to spoil too much, but you get to see Agent Carter sort of on the run from other things. And another favorite thing is they do work in like the Black Widow precursor program, which is the Leviathan, where they're training these Russian girls to be like married to freaking Russia, and like they gotta handcuff themselves to the bedpost at night, which is kind of oddly.
So this is what Kerry Russell did on The Americans. Same deal.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Did they?
No.
But it's fun. I really am glad it's on, and I'm looking forward to the S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back, but I'm glad they did this. I don't know if they should do another one. I think it's better just as a one-off.
I mean, the 8-part miniseries idea to give certain shows some breathing room isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
But go to something else.
Exactly. That's kind of one thing. Explore a different corner of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Things. Well, I'd rather have an 8-part or an 8-week miniseries than deal with 2 months off and have to get some repeats, some, you know, specials or a bachelor or bachelorette fucking, you know, whatever to take the place of it for a week or two.
It's the cable network model of seasons. Exactly. Like USA was fucking fantastic because you do a show, you do like 13 episode run, then you take a break and you'd play something else in between.
Yep.
And it kept, there's always new content.
And then before that, it's the BBC model. They do that a lot too. Constantine, I have not caught up since Christmas. I heard that it gets better and better.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a solid show now.
Mm-hmm. It's dark. It's gritty.
It's a dark procedural.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I hear he actually smokes on the show.
Yeah.
First it was like just the lighter to elude.
Yeah,
it's funny.
You see the lit cigarettes.
He has perfected the art of hanging that cigarette out of his mouth but never actually taking a puff while the camera's on him.
Yeah.
So like they'll cut away and then you'll see the smoke come flowing from the other side, then they cut back to him and it's just kind of dangling there. Like the person does like the, when they're talking but they're still smoking.
Yeah.
He never actually smokes, but
if you know what, it makes me sad because Constantine is doing everything right and it's just not like catching. Like they even put it next to Grimm and I love Grimm.
But it's a Friday night show.
And that's the thing is that, you know, when like I watch them in tandem and I watch them on Hulu. So when I watch Grimm I watch Constantine.
That's what I do.
And that's what I think people aren't doing. I'm just like, you just, it's a good show. And if you don't support like solidly made things like this where they die out. And so like Constantine is on like the bubble.
More so, like they cut the episodes for the season of 13 and they haven't even announced the renewal, which they've already started announcing. They've already announced Grimm's coming back. They've already announced some shows, the guaranteed returns for next season. I know there's talk about Sci-Fi potentially picking it up.
Yeah, that was the last thing I heard, that Sci-Fi.
If that works out, and it makes sense because their parent companies are the same. I think they're both NBC.
Yeah, it's an NBC company.
But see, the thing with Constantine, like, I'm excited. I watched like 4 episodes. I loved it. But there are a lot of shows I don't get to watch till there's nothing on, so I DVR it all, and they don't.
They don't count that.
They don't count that at all.
Yeah, right. There is accounting for DVR.
Are they? Now they do. Everything's in my DVR. Now they do. Okay,
they do, but to a point. So they actually try to full rating. When you watch it on the DVR, and there's a thing where you get more ratings credit, if you will, closer to when it airs than longer from when it airs. Right. But they actually track different categories.
There's like a within 20. There's live. Within 12 hours, within 24 hours, then within a week.
Yeah.
And if you're within the week, it's like the lowest, it counts, but it's like the lowest level of mattering.
Because right now, we have about 8 episodes of Constantine on the DVR, and we haven't watched it. And the reason why it doesn't count as much is because the advertisers want their stuff to be seen when they put them out, not 8 weeks later, because it could be.
Because it's nothing like me watching my old shows go, oh, look, Christmas special.
I know, right?
Oh, Macy's had that special.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a sale at Best Buy next weekend. We got to go to that.
So,
yeah. No, but that's how I got caught up on Constantine. I binge watched. I had like 4 episodes built up and I watched them all. I was like, this is getting good.
Did you feel depressed after you binge watched? Evidently, there's a thing. No, someone put out that study where people who binge watch, after they binge, they get depressed. And I'm like, what?
No,
really?
Shit. Because when you binge watch something, chances are you don't have anything to do or you're sick. Big fucking whoop. I'm depressed after watching 8.5 hours or something.
8.5, that's crazy. I do like that, 3, 4.
Simple. I get sick.
I know you.
Yeah, I binge watched season 4 or 5.
I'm binge watching Spartacus again. Oh, I love that show.
I love that show.
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's great.
I fast forward through all of it. Constantly.
It's like your porn.
Deathstroke? Naked? Swinging?
A lot. Just dick swinging.
Yeah, that's true. So what about Gotham? Now, we've been keeping up with it. They just did the 2-part Scarecrow arc.
I watched.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just caught up.
Did you like it?
I
thought it was cool. Yeah. I thought it was neat. But now tonight is the Joker.
Yeah, that also concerns me because I don't like what they show a brief thing. Who knows what it's going to be.
But exactly.
I don't know.
Well, they say it's going to be him, like, when they meet, he's going to meet Bruce and everything, and it's the beginning. But the Joker always lies, so who the fuck knows?
Well,
I thought they were teasing it in the way back in the series premiere, because the first time they cut to Fish Mooney, it was a comedian on stage, like, oh, what if that was a Joker?
It wouldn't surprise me the writers were just putting those in just to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Now, I am most interested, because I think the Penguin stuff's great, mm-hmm. I love all the Mafia mm-hmm. stuff, I love that. But what do you think of the Fish Mooney arc?
Can we kill her?
What the hell?
Please.
What are they doing with her?
I don't care. I don't give a fuck.
She's like going off running around with pirates and now she's taking over.
She's Callisto.
She really is.
Yeah.
She's Callisto and the Morlocks. Next thing.
Exactly. She's living under the sewer.
She got an eye patch and
she's not yet.
It's coming.
The hair covers one eye. Yeah, so she has an eye patch.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
It's weird.
And she's going to have a sword fight with a black woman with a mohawk.
She may.
I keep feeling like they're going to go somewhere with like League of Assassins, or maybe they're going to go with like just Bane. I mean, it's weird.
Honestly.
Killer Croc? I don't know.
That's the biggest failing of DC TV, to not get their shit together and at least have some kind of a linking universe.
Oh, I know.
I really like Fish Mooney.
Oh, I like her too, but I don't get what. I don't know what they're doing.
Is,
it's weird.
Doing.
It was a very weird choice to basically play her arc and run her off, and then now this.
See, I thought the same thing, that maybe it's League of Assassins, but they're doing that in Arrow. Why would they do it in Gotham too?
I mean, I don't know who.
Just because
rights.
It does belong to Bruce.
There are multiple leagues.
There are multiple leagues.
There's a lesbian league in Arrow. Checkmate.
There's the Gotham chapter. Then there's the actual Nanda Parbat chapter. Mm-hmm.
They all have their little pools.
Well, nobody knows what time frame this takes place in, to be honest. So, I mean,
any given moment, you're back in 2015, then you're back in the 40s.
It's yesteryear. It's the age of
not
yesteryear.
So distant past.
I'm like, is that
thank
a
you,
computer?
Brian Singer.
Is that a cell phone?
Is that a
why
smartphone?
Is somebody driving in these coupe?
That's a smartphone. That ain't even a smart. That ain't no damn flip phone.
I didn't expect one of those big, huge phones. Hello?
The only thing that I still am amazed that Gotham still pulls are the damn montages.
I hate
Why
them.
Why do they do the They're montages?
They're so cheesy. It's just cheap. Oh.
I thought they dropped that in the first couple episodes, but they still do it.
But can I ask, why is it never sunny in Gotham?
It's never supposed to. Gotham. Like, it's, Gotham. It's polluted. It's Gotham. It's hazy. Come on.
It's always dark.
You know, I will... I lived in a city once where there was a lot of pollution coming over the bay, and it's never... If the wind blew the other direction...
It would have been fine.
It was fine, and you saw, like, bright sunshine. But there were some days, some weeks, where it's just haze and overcast.
You lived in L.A.? I didn't realize you lived in L.A.
No.
So, in the DC television universe, I think a better example of how to do it right is The Flash.
Definitely. I love it. I love
what
it.
What is okay. wrong with
what's
you?
Wrong? I will tell you what's wrong with the fucking Flash. Okay. Okay? Oh, I can't take seriously a 12-year-old as a forensics officer.
No,
I'm
true.
I'm sorry.
True.
I don't care about Barry Allen. I hate The Flash. I love Firestorm. I love everybody else. And the person I think should be Barry Allen is Iris's boyfriend. He looks like Barry Allen.
I don't disagree with that.
Just
not this little skinny twink. No. Yeah.
But again, we're talking about network television.
I know
the
CW, bringing the girls. I get it.
But he is, and here's the other thing, is the Iris boyfriend who is actually
Eddie Thorne.
Okay. The problem with him as Barry Allen is a big old nerd. And I don't see him as a nerd. Barry Allen's always been geeky. Like he's a science hero. That was his thing. So I think it does make sense that he's geeky, but he could look a little older. I agree.
Just a little.
And a little more blonde. Or right. He's usually blonde. Yeah. Now, what do you think? Are you watching it?
Yeah.
What do you think about him dating, what's his name's wife?
Was that Wally's wife,
That's
right?
Wally's
Linda
wife.
Park? Linda Park?
Yes. He goes out on a date. Well, they almost had sex and then it didn't work out.
But I like that he was vibrating. Yeah. And she was like, ooh.
Yeah, whole body vibrate. How do you like that now?
Okay.
Now also, how much do you love, Dr. Wells? And the whole...
Well, I'm supposed to hate him. So
No.
I love the character.
But the way, what's his name? Oh God, I can't think of his name.
Tom Cavanaugh.
Yeah. The way he plays him, it's so good because he's like, he wants Barry to do well. That's true to Reverse Flash, right? He always wants the Flash to be a better hero.
Because he has to become that.
Right. And so it's like his own weird hero's journey where he is sacrificing his life, you know, whatever. But he does it in such a manipulative, and even that comes through with just his regular character. Oh,
but can I just
it.
Say how stupid the Central City Police Department is? Okay, do we now all remember the episode where he was attacked by the Pied Piper in his house? Okay. How come the sinks, none of the officers noticed that the sinks were at height, normal height, not low if he was in a wheelchair? Why are there steps? Why is there an upstairs?
Because he used to be able to walk.
Can I give you one word?
And apparently he never converted his house.
How do the prisoners in their little facility go to the bathroom?
They don't.
Where do they sleep?
On Fifth
Do they ever... Do they ever get fed?
No.
Yes, you still get kicked the food in. And that little one can thing. For 40 people.
But that still doesn't answer where they sleep, and it doesn't answer where they go to the bathroom.
See, okay, I just heard a point recently that I thought was pretty good. It's when you sign up for a show about a certain topic, you must make concessions in the story that you don't have to behold into making it that realistic.
I know. Of course you do. That's my point with the depiction of The Flash. I think it works well. He's a very likable character.
I think it's a good exchange between that and The Arrow. Like, you watch both those shows, it's a good point-counterpoint. You get the dreary and dark, and you get the light and upbeat.
You get Batman.
You get Batman pretty much. Superman.
Not in Gotham, but in Arrow.
Exactly.
But I love the Firestorm stuff.
There's futuristic Murphy beds in those cells. The wall comes out, and there's a little bed for them.
Does it? Do they show that?
Okay. No, but...
Well, just like Reverse Flash, or Wells' little thing, it comes out. I am interested to see what they do with that whole thing. Obviously, time travel will be a factor. I'm also excited to see what they do with Firestorm, because I don't like Firestorm. I think I hate Firestorm. But I did like the way they're doing it and how they start with its, what's his name? Eddie and...
Ronnie and Martin Stein.
Right, and that's not true.
That was the original.
Oh, it was?
That's the original.
See, I didn't know
Back
that.
In my day in the 80s,
so,
it was more.
So when does what's his name come into play?
New 52?
Yeah, so that was recent. Okay.
That was right before the New 52. Martin Stein died of cancer, and all of a sudden he winds up bonding with
Well, that
with
makes
Jason
a lot
Rush.
More sense to me then. Also, when does what's his name become Vibe?
Well, I see, like, I'm thinking about when is Killer Frost, but I mean,
they don't have to.
They'll have to take those characters away, and I like them, they're MSI.
Yeah, they're a great fun team. I really like Flash, and I don't, There's parts of it that make me not want to like it, but I like it. And Arrow, I'm not keeping up with, so you guys tell me if it's. I know it's very good.
I masturbate to Roy all the time.
Amazed you're not keeping up with it. John Barrowman is like a major character in the show.
I want to watch it, but I heard they killed what's his name off. Now they brought him back.
Who?
Yeah, Oliver.
Okay, so that was
Oliver in the whole thing. But I mean, it's Rachel Gould, so you knew he was going to come back. And then it was the whole thing with I think Thea is going to be Cheshire. She keeps, because the whole thing with her and Roy, I see her training harder and harder. I'm like, just put on green spandex and cola.
And what is Felicity? Is she a character? She's just
Felicity Smoke's a character.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She's
a character. Diggle is. Diggle was new. I thought Smoke was originally a character, but just no, she wasn't a superhero of any kind. She was just a character in the books.
I mean, I love her. I think she's the best out of everybody.
They got rid of Black Canary.
Canaries? Now it's the proper Black Canary.
Right. Okay. Laurel is, you know, Dinah. Laurel Dinah Vance, Lance is a Black Canary, but she sucks at it.
Oh. So until terrible. That one episode where she actually hit people and not like swung her baton.
But all she does is like, she just like, it's almost like she's wielding a crowbar and just beating faces with it. Yeah. That's her. So there's no style. There's no elegance.
That's
shame. I'm sure she'll get there. Mm. It's a good show.
There's no, yes, bitch.
When Bobby Morris puts her.
Bobby, who did you guys see? She is now Padalecki's a regular. Regular.
Good. I love all of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters, but she's definitely up there now. Now
they gotta kill the one black guy.
There's another one.
What, Deathlock?
No,
the other guy.
The other member of the team.
Oh, right.
Glad I got off that train.
They say every time that there's a new black person, the old one dies. Every time they introduce a black guy,
they're Highlanders. There can be only one.
They just happen to Walking Dead. That's what somebody showed. He goes, don't you notice that when they introduce another black person, person dies? And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, that's so fucking true.
Yeah.
It's all about.
Sorry.
Now, let us talk about the last episode of American Horror Story and the possible last episode of that damn series, although I'm sure it's coming back. I've heard nothing but grief and people hate it and all this stuff about it.
I made it halfway through the season and then my computer died. I
haven't come back since Christmas.
Yeah. Because it felt like they wrote these episodes through, what, we have 13? So they finished episode 12 and they were like, oh fuck, one more episode. All right, fucking kill them all. Because that's pretty much just what happened.
Yeah.
They got to that last episode and they're like, there are way too many people still alive in the series right now. Oh, I know what we can do. Just have them go and gun them all down.
Yeah. I guess I don't have to watch it.
I mean, it was a very surprising arc.
Was it good? I mean, I got... It was freaky, the whole clown thing, but then I started getting into Dandy and stuff, but then I just haven't...
Here's what I really do think that they do need to be more pre-planned up front for the story arc. And do less diversions that kind of come. Like, it's fun if it was an anthology show in the season and they could just do episodes one off, but they write it so scattershot and it just explores a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Have you heard about, what the hell is the showrunner's name?
Falchuk? Oh, and, Ryan Murphy.
Murphy. Yep. Have you heard about his way of coming up with story ideas?
He walks into the room and goes, all right, guys, I want you to write a story about a clown.
Right.
And walks away. Yeah, he's very...
Well, okay, then who did Coven? Because Coven was, I think, beautifully done. Well, see, it was a solid story.
Coven had...
We like Coven.
A solid story.
We like Coven because it was an X-Men story.
No, there were chunks of... Like, I love Coven overall, but there are chunks of Coven that are really tight and concise, and then there are episodes of Coven where you're just like, what the fuck?
Right, every season.
And the problem with that is when you only have 13 episodes, if you're not as tight as you can be... You're gonna screw it up.
It's like,
and that's what happens.
It's like it should be a 22 episode series where there is the room to take diversions and you have to. But if it's a 13, they're gonna do it like this again. You need to have a tight arc, get in, get out, tell your story, well, be
that's,
done.
That's the deal with House of Cards and shows that are having a 13 episode run, but they know that's the 13 episode. That's the story they're telling. There's no, they should have that locked down before they start. They shouldn't have to run out of things to tell.
Like, Fargo, the way it was written is they basically wrote the guy, and I forgot his name, wrote the entire thing, and then he hired a writing team to come in and break the stories out into episodes. And other shows are like that as well. Now, some that we like Battlestar, like they were more like this where they kind of did little chunks and kind of let different writers take their turns, but
But you've got to show, speaking of House of Cards, like Orange is the New Black, where you have an arc that goes through the entire thing, but the episodes focus on different characters, so you get that feel of,
yeah.
you took a little trip down on this side. There's still bits and pieces of the main story that go through, but you get to learn about this person and what they did in their backstory, and it feels solid.
Cohesive.
Versus the only episode I really liked out of this season of Horror Story was the one about Pepper.
Yeah, that one was, oh my god, that one broke your heart.
Which one's Pepper?
The pinhead.
Oh, okay.
From the one who was in asylum.
And it explains how she became, like, yeah, that was
her story from this season to Asylum.
Oh wow.
It was shows heartbreaking. The entire thing. Like that one's an amazing episode. It just melted your heart. The other thing is the ending. I will say, I did like the Elsa Mars ending, even though she's a total bitch. She didn't deserve what she got. I did kind of feel like that worked for me as an ending for her.
I mean, the one last excuse that you have to take away from the show is it's not like they have an ongoing series. They have 13 episodes, and that story is wrapped up.
Right. Isn't there one
not anymore,
season?
Because now he's saying they're all connected, and that's why we had the Pepper episode, and that's why we have these things. And it's either a stall tactic to make you say, okay, well,
let me come back and see what happens next.
Exactly. Or, because I don't really feel like, in watching what he's done, I've never watched Nip Tuck, but in Glee, but watching all four seasons of this.
Oh man, Nip Tuck was rocky in some seasons.
Yep. Yeah, some of it was solid.
The first three or four seasons were solid and tight. After that, it was up, down, up,
My favorite down. Season was the Femke, of course.
That was like season three.
Yeah.
And that was a great season.
That was hot.
Now, speaking of Ryan Murphy and Falchuk, Glee, Pat's like been watching it and I've been sort of tuning in when he watches it. And even though we skipped the musical numbers, which is fine, whatever, that's fine.
Oh, I said fast forward as my friend during Glee.
I mean, it's kind of like watching a porn.
They call Glee, but not for this.
Well, it's like watching a porn and skipping all the action and just watching the story bits. It's actually very entertaining. But
I'm going to judge you based on the pure essence of the story. I'm trying to
I get about
with
17
songs.
Minutes of actual showtime.
It is actually now a lot stronger and funnier because it is making fun of itself mercilessly.
Number of fucks given while writing any given episode for the season? Zero.
It is outstanding.
You know what? Really? And great. That's something that Nip Tuck didn't do. Ryan Murphy, when he ended Nip Tuck, was still very sacred with the characters and didn't try and do too many things. Glee, the fact that he knows the end is coming and can kind of play it fast and loose like that, that's probably what the show needed.
Jane Lynch totally. Is basically the avatar for us in the show.
Yep.
She talks about Clayne. She talks about the fact, like, there was one part where she, it's called the Hurt Locker. It's a 2-part episode and she takes Becky to this, like public storage.
Oh, I saw that.
With the locker. And she's got like things that people did that pissed her off and like her revenge scheme. And she's got all this. And at the end of the 2-part episode, she's looking at this calendar. And Becky makes some comment about, you know, well, what are you going to do? There's nothing left to do or whatever. And she's like, oh no, I'll have my way. We still have about 6 more weeks minus any, preemptions for sporting events before it'll all be done. And I'm just like that. It's amazing. It's very meta humor and they have totally made her our voice within the show itself. The other characters will make, you know, will take pot shots at what's going on. And, you know, they did the impromptu Brittany and Santana proposal.
Oh,
and
my Lord.
One guy's like, what's going on in here? One of the new guys. And Puck is just like, oh, don't worry about it. Stuff like this happens every week.
And this is the only thing. It's still very preachy at times. And I don't mind it because it's sort of preachy for us to our benefit. There's a thing where, is it Santana's abuela?
Oh, yeah. Abuela Lopez. Her grandmother still cannot accept her being a lesbian. So Brittany sets up this whole thing and it's Burt Bacharach week and what is it?
Trying to win her over.
All you need is love. Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
They do the whole number and she can't do it. So Brittany fucking turns around and reads her for filth. Basically the gist of it is, we're waiting for dinosaurs like you to die so that way we can actually be accepted and live our lives.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. It was
a 2-minute fucking speech that just read her up and fucking down.
And then the last episode had the trans chorus, the big surprise to honor Beast, because, you know, Coach Beast is now a man, transitioned over, and to honor her, Unique is brought back, and they do this 200 or whatever, 300, you know, people, a trans chorus to sing, I forgot what the song is.
I know
is.
Where I've been from Hairspray.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and again, it's preachy, but again, I'm okay with it to a point, as long as it doesn't take over the story. So anyway, that's, that, now my brother and I are big Justified fans.
We are.
And I just got up to season 5. I had to go burn through it to catch up to the new season.
Now you're ahead of me.
Yeah, is this with Justin Timberlake?
Close. Close. This is actually, the next season is called Sexy Back.
Oh, okay, okay.
Now,
cool.
I don't know about Justin Timberlake, but I'll tell you, Tim the Oliphant is a fine specimen of man.
Mr. Frodo, it's Oliphants. Wow. No? Lord of the Rings? No? Nobody? Yeah, okay, just me?
But.
I got it.
Between him and his Marshall, Southern, Kentucky Marshallness.
And Wayne Coggins doing the Boyd Crowder.
I swear, oh, and we got Mary Steenburgen as this badass mafia bitch.
You have Sam Elliott, sans mustache, which is kind
of
weird.
See, Sam Elliott should never be in a thing without his mustache. His mustache defines
You don't realize how much of a turtle mouth he has until you take that mustache away.
Totally. Like,
it is serious.
Oh. But no, Sam Elliott plays this badass, like, sounds kind of ridiculous, but he's like a pot dealer. But he's like a kingpin pot dealer. And then what's his name from Raising Hope?
Oh, and Deadwood.
Yeah, and Deadwood, of course. I can't think of his name, but he was the main guy on Raising Hope, the father.
Shit. Blank on the name.
Oh, Neff.
Something Neff. He was Jimmy.
He plays in Justified. It's very season by season. Like, you'll have the villain of the season.
He plays just like the character he played in Deadwood.
Yeah, which is, compared to Raising Hope, is like a total, like, hardcore, like, ex-military, just like, stern, kind of scary looking guy. But in Raising Hope, he was hilarious and like kind of like a possibility. Anyway, Justified is ending. If you're not caught up, just wait. Watch the whole thing. Binge watch it.
Oh, are you talking about it's Garrett? It's
Dillahunt.
Garrett Dillahunt. Oh, okay. Oh, Jimmy's dad.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Is he shirtless in that one too?
No, I don't think so.
No, but he's bearded.
He is bearded.
He looks way better with a beard than without the beard.
Oh, no, I'm sure he does, but he had his shirt off in Raising Hope. I'll go back and watch that.
Timothy Oliphant has a shirt off occasionally. That's worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, and what's his name comes back next episode? Patton Oswalt, who has the, like, a vocal role as a small cop or
security
guard.
Did you see the Timothy Oliphant's interview on Conan?
No.
He talked about how, like, there was the time of the show ending. And, you know. He's like, he's going to miss the free haircuts. But he's like, yeah, you know, everybody on the crew is really nice. And we've only ever really had, like, one really douchebag, I'd say. And he's like, he's been on the show. But I don't want to name names. And then Conan's like, wait. The only person that's been on the show besides you is Patton Oswalt. Like, don't want to say anything.
Wow. They're just fucking. Yeah. Speaking of scenic blowjob scenes or great monologues where characters are having sex.
Yes, Ian McShane did master the blowjob monologue in Deadwood.
There is something almost to that point, but not quite, in Helix. We have had a handjob monologue.
On Sci-Fi?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a allusion to a blowjob. It was not a blowjob monologue, but it was basically one character getting down on her knees about to unzipping this guy's pants. Now, that is not why I like Helix. But that is not why I dislike Helix either, let me say. Helix is one of those sci-fi shows that gets better the more they pile on. And the first season was like The Thing, basically. It was this Arctic, you know, virus outbreak, zombies, this crazy shit. But then they started throwing in this conspiracy theory with these immortals and how they're controlling everything.
But you like The Rocketeer.
And what's his name?
He's the lead.
Yeah, what's his name?
Still can't do him.
Yes, Billy Campbell is the lead. And he's obviously much older now and bearded, and he has like this gravelly voice. But the new season's got Jeffrey...
Tambor?
No, from Wings. Oh, God, I can't think of names tonight. The guy from Wings. And the movie Jeffrey. Sorry, that's where I was going.
The guy who played Superman?
No.
And the voice of Superman?
Oh, I don't know. Weber. Stephen Weber.
Oh, okay. So
he is this immortal, like, Dr. Moreau for the island. They're now on an island. That's the new locale, whatever. And it's got elements of Lost without being too crazy backstory-ish. But they do have a time jump that they kind of do this thing where they go up into the future like 30 years and they tell like a parallel story. So
what you're telling me is that because season one is on Netflix, watch season one.
Yes. And it's only 13 episodes and it's great. I love it. So.
Nope.
All right. Almost done. All right, so I have not watched Broadchurch. I watched about two episodes. No, not even an episode of Grace Point. And I went, I got to go back and just watch Broadchurch. It's coming back for season two. I do know that. Mm-hmm. And you just saw it?
I just saw, I burned through all of season one. And it takes place in like this sleepy little seaside village in England.
Be careful what you say. I'm three episodes in, and it's been spotted. Like, I've been trying to watch, and I come back to it every couple of months. Like, okay, I should finish it. I'll watch one more episode.
You should totally do it.
I know.
And, you know, the tourists are coming that day. It's kind of like Jaws in that sense, where it's like, oh, this big thing is happening. And then this kid's body is found on the beach, and David Tennant is the new kind of like DCI, like murder investigator who's trying to solve this mystery in a small town where like everyone has something to hide. And it's super interesting. And you kind of like unpack what's going on in this, like from the outside in, like really idyllic place that has these like really dark undertones. And this family's like breaking apart and they're, it's cool. It's neat. Trust no one. Everybody did it. I will say that the ending kind of like, oh, okay. Like, at one point you get it. You understand who did it. And then you figure it out.
Yeah.
And they show you, but it's good. I really like
that. Now, this is set in a small New England town, a small coastal New England town.
No,
I'm sorry, the American one. So I was thinking that.
Jaws.
Well, I was excited about the coastal New England town because I'm like, okay, at what point do the fish sticks show up? And they start worshiping Cthulhu and they start killing and talking and Rylith. That would have been more entertaining. No,
actually
do want to see
Dagon. And yes. That's different.
It is different. I do want to see it though, because I love Tennant, of course. And then, what's her name from Torchwood? Gwyneth.
Eve Miles.
Yeah, she's in, I think, season two at least.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I hate her.
You know,
just because she stole recently.
I know she's been in other things. You remember in Hot Fuzz, the slutty cop?
Yeah. She's in it too.
She's the main, she's the other main lead.
And she's been in a bunch of British comedies too that I've seen.
She's really good.
Also, Rory's in it. He plays a priest.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Nuno is another doctor.
Yeah, Rory.
All right. So this is all great and I'm excited
and
to watch it.
You watch Grace Point. Nick Nolte's in it.
Oh God. Yeah.
No? Nick Nolte? 48 hours.
Wait, before.
Go ahead.
Oh, I know.
Okay, I was going to say.
The big hair now, arrest charge after arrest charge, drinking
sure.
and driving. Yeah, I know who you are.
Honorable mentions before we close out TV.
Well, we're not closing out until you do the...
Well, I know.
Okay.
Empire, ridiculous. If you've ever loved Taraji P. Henson...
It's good to see she left a point of person of interest for a solid gig.
Yeah, or like Terrence Howard, and just like music and kind of like rap and hip-hop and R&B culture... It's great. It's over the top. It's a straight up soap opera.
Nice.
Or if you want to actually find out that Courtney Love is still alive, then you can watch it.
Yeah.
She's in that show?
Yeah, she was in the last episode.
Wow.
I mean, she is an accomplished actress.
And pop culture happy hour.
Did you not see The People vs. Larry Flint? Very accomplished.
How long ago?
That doesn't matter.
Okay, what about pop culture happy hour?
Pop culture happy hour did like a segment on Empire.
Really?
And you've never been so happy to hear everyone on Pop Culture Happy Hour, including Linda Holmes, refer to an actress as Boo Boo Kitty. Like, it's just, it's awesome. How to Get Away with Murder has been great.
Okay, whoa.
Is there more gay sex?
Wait. Okay. How to Get Away with Murder. I watched the one episode in. It was way too long to give me what they gave me. Way too long. All she did was change her fucking wig.
More is coming.
All she did was change her fucking wig.
Yeah, more is coming.
Next episode, she changes her outfit.
Exactly.
I will say this, though. I've only watched the first episode of Scandal since it's been back. That bitch jumped a shark, said hello to Fonzie, and kept on riding. I just...
Shonda.
Every time I ask my fiance about that, I was like, oh, you still watching Scandal?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that good, huh?
Yeah.
Glad I jumped off at the end of season
three. I'm so mad. I'm just like, I could have watched an episode of Empire. I'm still a little behind.
All right. Now, what is very important, and we've been waiting a long time for this since you live tweeted it, is what did you think?
Garbage. Trash.
I'm going to let you finish. No. The Whitney Houston biopic.
Bullshit. I watched it.
I'm sensing an Emmy.
I watched it with my girl. And
are there scratch marks on the TV?
Don't even. I can't.
Too soon. Too
I
soon.
Cannot.
She's not dead yet.
Mm. What? You know what? First of all, let's pause here. I don't understand how we can live in a world where Sissy Houston not only lost her daughter, but is about to lose her granddaughter. I can't. Oh God, Sissy.
What about Bobby?
I am, Lifetime, Angela Bassett, you know I love you. I do. But she must have been a New Edition fan because they made Bobby Brown seem like just a man who had made a couple mistakes in his life.
Ain't nobody helping around.
They strapped Whitney to some horses and dragged her through the mud. They had, really, Lifetime pretty much showed Bobby Brown eating out Whitney Houston.
Whoa.
One. Two, they pick up her story not before her first album. And you know, when they introduced her, I know exactly, I've seen that clip a billion times. You know I have. And they're like, you know, Whitney Houston. I'm like, oh my God, da 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 da. But they pick it up from when she meets Bobby. And whoa. I knew that was the first red flag. They show copious amounts of sex. They show the miscarriage. They make Bobby seem like, you know, she dragged him into the drugs. When, let's be real, I knew that they had to clean up Whitney to put her on stage. But her whole life wasn't Bobby Brown. And that's what makes me mad, is that it was like the Bobby Brown story. Featuring this bitch he once fucked once or twice, Whitney Houston. And I wasn't having it.
That's funny because I asked you about it and you went off on your tangent. And I was like, well, I still want to watch with Batman. Batman was like, don't even bother. Don't even bother. I was like, wow.
It was bad. And you know, the thing is that they had done this whole like tribute to you know, Whitney before and after. And they had the nerve to put the Bobby Brown point of view. That whole fucking movie was Bobby's point of view. I should have listened to my friend Cervante because he's like, I said, I watched the Aaliyah movie and he's like, ooh, girl, I don't know why you did it. And I'm like, you know, they're doing a Whitney story. I'm like, I know. He's like, bitch, don't do it. You know, they're going to do your girl dirty. And they did. And I love Angela Bassett. I know that the first time my husband cheats on me will be the last time because I'm taking all his shit and our child's radio flyer and putting it in the car and setting that bitch alight. And when the police and the fire department come out, yes. Well, miss, you know this was on fire. I know it was trash and you burn trash. Like I'm to this second, I am pressed.
Was that Waiting to Exhale?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I was just saying.
I am pressed. Rest. To this day, I am pressed.
Shoo, 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 bedoo.
They didn't do nothing for Whitney. And they ended on I Will Always Love You. I'm like, bitch, she did other things. She had other singles.
She is every woman.
Like
every
the
woman.
White people relate.
That's true. All they remember is The Bodyguard. Right. And then she died.
Yeah, exactly.
She did other things.
Oh, that was so Michelle Visage had a song on that album. Just letting you know. Oh. Best selling album of all time.
But you know what? I will say this. Deborah Cox as vocals, immaculate.
Yeah.
She was good.
I'm not surprised by that. Good. Yeah.
She is Aida.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't like it.
Trash.
If there's one thing you can take away from this.
One star then? Maybe two?
No. Half a star?
Bitch.
Quarter of a star?
It's a black hole.
Whoa. Nice. Nice.
Wow. It's the black vortex.
Oh, oh God.
Oh. Some.
It's that bad.
Maybe Bobby Brown would call that Whitney Houston.
Oh.
Ooh, wow. Oh, too
you
soon.
Know, she doesn't have to ever see you again. I assume you have a life insurance policy. She'd be set for life.
You know, it's funny. I'm in insurance and I don't.
He's not He's stupid.
Don't kill me.
So, in promotion news, we actually have a contest. Everybody looks at me like, what?
Huh?
So, our good friend Lee at adammailblog.com.
Hi, Lee.
He is the guy who had hooked us up with the still valid flame code for Adam Mail, the porn site, or the adult toy store, which you can get free shipping and 50% off any purchase.
One item.
One item. He said, hey, let's do a contest. I said, sure. And so we are giving away a 3-month subscription to Loot Crate. And we are going to pick a random drawing from all the submissions. And all you have to do to enter is go to bit.ly, you know, short links, /geekygaygiveaway. And we'll have this up on the show notes. It'll be up on the Adam Mail website. It'll be up on the Flame On website. It'll be up on Facebook. Everywhere we're at, we'll put this out there. And it's a short little survey. You fill it out, and you could win a 3-month Loot Crate subscription.
Can I win it?
No. Can I win it?
No, we can't win it.
Damn,
no.
Son of a bitch.
Well, this sucks.
I quit the show. I quit the show. Can I win it now?
Loot Crate is a lot of fun. I don't know if we still, I think we canceled our.
Nope.
I enjoyed getting stuff from it, but every month it was like, well, I don't really need this. I don't really need that anymore. But for a 3-month subscription, it gives you a great chance to just try out what they have. And, you do have to specify t-shirt size because they actually do include t-shirts. Right. And I got a really cool cat skull t-shirt. And it's not a cat skull. It's a skull that is made of cats, but it's a really cool shirt.
It goes along with his stormtrooper skull.
It
shirt.
Does. Which
pants.
I
like.
Also a pair of pants.
So anyway, that is, Geeky Gay Giveaway on bit.ly, and we'll have links up later. So check it out and just, give us some info about you and you could win. Now we also in sort of randomly related, I don't know how this relates. It doesn't really relate. Forget that whole segue. We have an email. In fact, we have 2 emails from Mr. Nathan, and we're going to do one this show and one next full cast.
I was about to say I love his hot dogs, but that might play wrong to this nice. Audience.
So I got a question from Nathan. He wanted our advice.
Big fan of your podcast and love to hear more and more about fellow nerdy LGBT people. So I'm writing to ask a question or for some advice, a second opinion, if you will. I'm a 24-year-old cub, but I am really into older guys, and not the whole daddy issue thing. I genuinely enjoy older guys. I was wondering what advice you have in terms of actually long-term dating an older guy. There are tons of them out there, but they seem to only want sex or automatically assume that I am immature just based on my age. Any advice on where to find older guys who would actually want to have a relationship with a younger guy?
I'm just going to sit this one out.
Damn it.
I'm just getting so much trouble.
That sucks.
Well, no, same as how I'm dating an older man too now.
Oh. All right, I'll high five for that one. That was good. That was fast.
Okay, 4-5 years, that does not count. That is not that much of an older. He is talking about May, December. He is talking about if, let's say,
Brian,
a mid-20s.
Brian, how old are you again?
I'm 38.
Wow, you're really cute for 38. Do you get that a lot?
Oh, you bitch. You bitch. So, well, Jared, actually, you've been in this position somewhat, right? You've dated men.
His eyes just got real wide.
Younger men who are maybe in their early 20s and you being in your late 20s,
I'm gonna
right?
Go home now.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Uh-huh. Now, you would have been one that would be a little older and looking for a relationship, mm-hmm. mostly. So, what would advice, if he was someone out there looking for you, let's say, how could he meet you?
Eric looks so nervous right now.
The apps that we would typically go to for this, I think, don't apply, although they could.
Don't use those.
That's more of for hookups and keeping up with your friends.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, you know, we're all busy adults, right?
Yeah, yes.
Right. So we've got jobs and we have things we like to take care of. So
wait, what? Could you be more specific?
Like pets?
Oh, okay. That's
children,
good.
Maybe.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Furry children, yeah.
Yeah.
Not children,
so,
furries.
You know, just scheduling works, you know.
So they should meet you in a scheduling office? What?
Yes, a scheduling office.
No,
sure.
So
my advice.
Okay, here we go. Here
being
we go.
The old man of the group.
The daddy
here.
Of daddy.
The daddy who likes the young guys.
Uh-huh.
All right. God help my life. Basically, you could find them anywhere you go. Just go to places that you love to be at. May it be a comic shop, a club, a bar, but you can But no, you go where you love to go and you could find these daddies and you just had, and it's, yes, it is hard because yes, we, all we do want is sex because we get to a certain age. That's all we want because we've been in loveless, sexless marriages for so long. That's all we want from you at first, but you have to just deal with it for a little while until we get to know you. And it is a process and it does take a little time. It's not right away, but if you can get through it, if you can get it like a couple of months into this, you can actually, he'll get to know you. And if he really likes you, he'll generally like you.
So, okay, a couple things there. One, anywhere, it sounds like, which is fair advice.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Second point there, you're basically saying that in the gay relationship world, the sex as a handshake sort of model is not uncommon, is I think what that came out of there a little bit.
I mean, you're going to have sex with somebody to see if it's even worth pursuing to begin with.
Okay.
You know?
So try before you buy.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think that should go for any relationship. Like, you shouldn't just enter a relationship without having had sex. Like, you could be really, really into a person on a lot of different levels, but if you're not sexually compatible, it ain't gonna fly. And that's not me being, you know, like embittered or jaded. It's just like, it's just a fact. I think that you should be open, you know, and don't think of sexuality as like a rigid sort of thing. And I think sometimes that's what older men have come to understand, that your sexuality is pretty fluid. Now, you may not, I'm not in the sense where, you know, like, you know, you're now interested in women or whatever. It's like, you know, sometimes I look for like a younger guy. Sometimes like I want more like body contact or whatever. And so like older men have gotten through that like young, this is what you do sort of thing. It's just like, this is what I like. This is what I'm into. You can either jump on this bandwagon or not. Me being someone who from time to time have gone after and have had sort of like dalliances, I would call them, with older men. Like, they exist. And as long as you're not like an idiot and a child, and as long as you, you know, speak from the heart and you're yourself and you don't try to impress them, you will be fine. Has it worked out for me? No. But there are other issues at bat.
Well, it's weird being in the bear community. I see a lot of older men acting like teenagers or college kids. So there is a very odd, and I'm sure this isn't just the bear community, by
any
means.
Yeah.
But it's weird in the bear community to have these really muscular, deep voiced, sort of every man kind of, you think, just whatever. They're just, there's guys. And they are out there just being like the most idiotic, immature, ridiculous people out there ever. I mean, it's just weird. It's a very odd.
It's regardless of age, they're still going to be idiots.
Yeah. Well, and of course, that's very true. Yeah. But I do think that, you know, as far as where you find them, unfortunately, it is going to come down to the apps, and it is going to come down to going to the bars or going to other gay community type things. Gay softball. There are lots of gay softball and kickball leagues now. Go do those, and I bet you you will not be able to swing a cat without hitting an older daddy.
And depending if you live in Orlando, a cat hitting older daddy, who's a bottom?
No, it's top Lando. That's the thing. Orlando's all tops.
The hell?
The hell, what?
We know someone.
I could spit!
We know someone who believes this. I don't, but we know someone who really does.
Wow.
They actually may have moved away because of it. No. Anyway, well, thank you, Nathan. And we have another question from Nathan, but we'll do that next episode.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, Nathan doesn't need our help now. Wait a month. Give it take a week or two.
He'll be fine.
We'll get you next time, Nathan. Thanks.
And if you have any questions, Brian at Flame On Show, Pat at Flame On Show, Jared, all of us at flameonshow.com.
Well, make sure I'm the oldest one. So Eric at Flame On Show.
That's true. There we go.
The most experienced.
Well, look at me.
Seasoned. Well-aged.
To perfection.
Getting there. Give it a couple more years.
I'm not as old as you, but I'm getting there. You had it coming, bitch.
Okay, we actually have video games to talk about, surprisingly. Cool. Not very many. Several of us have purchased a Majora's Mask remake recently on the 3DS. And in fact, my brother here has purchased the new Nintendo 3DS XL Plus whatever.
It's nice.
Yeah?
I like it.
Why? Because you had the smaller one, right? You had the Zelda one, or you still have it?
Melody, my fiance, has one.
Okay.
And the problem with Nintendo, as much as I love them, you can only assign one Nintendo Network ID to a handheld. So when I got that for her and they started this whole ID system, I plugged in her information and I realized, shit, I can't put mine in. So I'm tied to the Wii U and I have no handheld console of my own.
So you did not have one. You would play hers occasionally, but you did not have your own. That makes more sense.
And
I mean,
when Smash Brothers came out last year, they had the bundle and I said, okay, I'm just going to wait for that bundle. I'm going to get that because I'm going to get Smash Brothers. And then right after they announced that, they said, oh, by the way, we're going to come out with this new, faster, better version of the Nintendo 3DS. It's going to have a little camera thing and it's going to be much faster. We're going to release games that are exclusively for that new version because of it being faster.
It reads Amiibos.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, it has the near field on the console itself. It's like, well, I guess I'm waiting until then.
So I guess I'm torn because I have the XL. And I like it. It's fine. It doesn't have the camera stick, doesn't have the Amiibo stuff, but I'm on the fence about whether I need to bother spending $200-something, even with my trade-in credit, whatever that is, to get a new one. Now, Pat had the old 3DS.
The small one.
And that is a big jump, because you get a much bigger screen, you get a faster thing, you get all the other good benefits, but it's a bigger...
Are y'all talking about your Game Boys?
Yes.
Your Game Boy Colors?
Yes.
Oh, I love the Game Boy Color.
I made him watch two episodes of the show from 1992.
Oh my god.
92?
Yeah, yeah. I think thereabouts.
Called Ghost Rider.
Oh, I remember Ghost Rider.
I remember Ghost Rider.
Because I remember seeing like the thing for it. Oh, Ghost Rider? Really? It's going to be Oh, that sucks.
Samuel Jackson was in that. Oh my god, a young Samuel Jackson. Like, I was...
Back when he actually said his middle name, Leroy.
Oh, did he? Oh wow, I missed that. That show is like, and it lasted a long time.
5 years?
Unbelievable.
It's amazing what you can get in syndication.
Oh.
5 years of, 5 years of Ghost Rider.
I remember Ghost Rider, yeah.
But second episode in or whatnot, where they had the backpack snatching, was the first storyline, and the kid's on the ground playing his Game Boy, and I'm like, oh, look at that gray brick. I remember that.
Mm. Yeah, our parents, I didn't watch it when I was growing up. You did?
That was past your time.
Well.
Because you're old.
Mom would never let us watch a show about a ghost talking through a computer.
It was a little syndicated show, though.
And notepads.
And bulletin boards in the school.
And possessing things. It was a PBS-BBC joint venture.
It was
on, like, what, Fox Children or something, too, later?
Fox did the first episode, and then it was on PBS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a syndicated show.
I'm just saying. For that poor show kids. About a possessed piece of equipment. Evidently, the ghost was from a escaped slave who trained other people how to read. Like, who taught how to read. So I didn't know.
Wait. You're telling me the ghost was Kunta Kinte?
I'm not saying that.
Cause Reading Rainbow.
Oh.
What? Oh. That was LeVar Burton in Roots. This shit writes itself.
You know, listeners, you just have to wait for both of the Pittenburg brothers to say something.
Tell me I'm wrong. LeVar Burton was in Roots, was he not?
Okay, can we get back to talking about video games, please?
So I left on video games,
I came back to Roots.
I played a little bit of the Majora's Mask. Let me just say, that game is weird. And I've forgotten how weird it is. And then some friends of ours posted on the Orlando Gay Geek group about it.
Yeah.
What the hell is with the scent mask? The pig mask too, yeah. And then the fairy girl.
Yeah, the great fairy mask.
Little drag queen.
Wow. Yes.
I have no doubts now why I am the way I am playing that game back when it came out.
Yeah, you actually got decently, I don't think you ever beat
no,
it.
No, I did not beat
but
that
you
one.
Actually, I watched you play because when I was a kid and I played that, I made it to like, I didn't even get out of Clock Town.
Brian, you think it's fucked up now. Wait till you get to the end of the game.
Oh, good.
It's all a dream. No.
Well, it is frustrating.
That was Link's Awakening.
It is very frustrating now. They have made it better from the original one because you actually have like a notebook that tracks when certain things happen. So if you ever forget, when did I see this one thing during the 3-day period?
And you can jump to a specific hour of the day now.
Oh, is that when you do the Scarecrow thing?
The song of double time? You can go to any specific time of any specific day.
Okay.
To get to the point in the notebook where you meet up with the right person.
All you got
to
do is sing that song.
That's right. Just click your heels together and...
Yeah.
Mr. Right will come. Won't he?
So I don't know. I'm enjoying playing it again. It looks great, of course. Graphics are beautiful. Music's awesome. All that good stuff.
But. I mean, I don't know. But like you said, like you're still debating. I don't know if I would. If you have the 3DS XL now, yeah. I mean, the only thing you're gaining is it's a little bit faster and you got the camera nubbin.
The camera nubbin thing lets you move the camera around, which for certain things is helpful.
Yeah.
But
they also usually have that function somewhere else in the game.
You can like freeze and look around by moving the thing. It's okay. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not convinced.
It's got smart 3D now. It knows where you're watching it.
That's actually kind of weird though, because of the facial tracking.
Yeah.
If I'm ever playing and watching TV and I look up and look back down, it has to reorient.
Ooh.
So if you don't move your face and you just look your eyes up, like they won't do it. But if it tracks you moving your face away, it'll completely disorient the 3D.
But is it overall when you're using it a lot better? If you move it just a little bit, you don't have that problem where it goes out of 3D.
Right. Yeah, no, it stays okay. Very, because it's tracking your face.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's kind of cool though.
Yeah.
Aw. What games are you playing, Eric?
Marvel Super Heroes Lego.
Oh!
Yay.
How's that?
I'm having fun with Jean Grey. Trying to unlock Phoenix.
I've almost beat Shadow of Mordor. I'm almost done.
Damn it, I gotta finish that game.
It's a lot of fun. Love it.
You're like 60%.
No, I'm a lot further. I'm like 85%. And I'm doing all the side quest stuff too, cause why not?
This is what happens when I gotta go to work in the Parliament House.
Speaking of Lego games, so apparently the new like Batman Lego came out.
The movie?
No, the game.
Lego game. The game.
Oh yeah.
Lego Batman and, 3.
And when you fly as Wonder Woman?
Yeah. Do the theme song.
Yes. And do you know that there is now a Lego set where you can get Wonder Woman and her invisible jet?
I need this in my life.
It's $50 at Target. I almost bought it several times. All right. Well, we're going to get through the comic book section and wrap this puppy up. But again, Flame On Show on Facebook, Flame On Show on Twitter, or Flame On Podcast on Twitter, and Flame On Show on Tumblr. Please go check us out. We want to get some more likes.
Yeah, thank you for everyone for retweeting and following the Grammy coverage.
Oh, yes.
The Grammys, Lord.
That was between you and the Divine Grace, that whole thing was very entertaining. Oh, my gosh.
And please, if you could post to or tweet at Dita Ritz and tell her how much you want her to be interviewed by Oral for Drag is the New Spandex.
I don't sound like Dita Ritz!
And in that one moment, you sounded a lot like Dita Ritz. That's fantastic. All right, so with comic books, we got our three little categories here. We got DC, Marvel, and what we call indie, which is basically everybody but DC and Marvel. We're going to start with DC, because quite honestly, I'm about two titles from like dropping just the whole line. And not everything, but DC-wise. I'm just... Like, between the announcement the other day, and not that this is a bad thing, but like, we're not going to worry about continuity. You know, we can just, you know, everybody
wrong. Else
will stand on its own.
Wrong.
The thing is,
Aaron, I
was at the roadshow. That's all wrong.
Okay, good. You did. I do want to hear about that.
I was at the roadshow.
Yeah, first of all, you bitch. Was this a private, like, retailer thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Well, Aaron kind of jumped at the defensive about explaining why DC was great for doing this.
Well, because when we sat down and they actually, like, pitched it to us and explained everything to us, continuity still matters.
Okay.
It's going to be 25, I believe, books that are going to be what you're reading now. It's going to be your Batman's, your regular continuity stuff. And then there's going to be a group of books that are going to be outside of it. It's going to be Bizarro, that you don't have to read anything but Bizarro. You don't have to read anything but Batman.
So is that Convergence or the new?
That's after Convergence.
Okay.
You know, you're going to have those. But during Convergence, it's World's End and Futures End hit that point. And what they discover is that Brainiac created this world, that it's like a Petri dish of all the other universes.
Is it a world where they're battling?
Yes. You know, Marvel and DC are doing the same fucking thing.
Right. Again.
Because it's basically this world, and now it's the 52 looking in. So it's the regular universes looking into this world. And what Brainiac does is he drops two domes and has them battle. Like, the Superboy with the buzz haircut and the earring is going to meet Kingdom Come Superman.
Oh.
And they're going to battle it out. So, battle world.
All the children say we don't need another hero.
Oh my goodness.
So each one, okay. So each week, you're going to have 4 weeks of this. Each week is something different. The first week is the pre-52 universes that we're going to deal with.
Right.
The next week is going to be the zero year.
Wow.
That they did. Or zero
Dolan,
hour. Zero hour.
Dolan,
the
way parallax
back. Crap. Then they're going to do the pre-crisis, the silver age.
Oh.
And then they're going to do a mashup of everything.
Wow.
And then out of that, we're getting all these books, the newest books.
They are tweaking the continuity of the New 52.
Yes.
Not going to call it the New 52 anymore. It's the New DC.
They're getting rid of it.
But it's all sort of going to feed in possibly to some of this older stuff that they'll take what worked and kind of mash it in. Is that the...
Well, they're going to take a lot of characters that they say people missed and they're going to incorporate them into the New 52.
Okay.
Well, the 52.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like there's books like Damian is getting his own book. There's a book called We Are Robins that's going to explain how Bruce got all these Robins.
Oh, okay.
So they're hearing people finally kind of thing. Nothing about Outgirl.
They're getting rid of Bob Harris. Is he going yet?
No, not that they said. But
are they letting artists just write without any prior writing experience?
Yes.
Yet? Oh.
They are letting writers. That's with the out of continuity books. The Bizarros and the
back. So they're bringing in top writing talent, top
and
art
different
talent.
Writers, new writers, new artists into the mix. The guy who's going to be writing Superman writes a lot of anime, and now he's going to be writing Superman.
Interesting.
So they want to see. It's still going to be John Romita.
Yes.
Poor Aaron. They're going to do because like. We're getting 40 tie-in, quote-unquote. But it's two issues. Each one has, like, explaining where this comes from.
Uh-huh.
Like, you'll have Superman and one, Superman, and it's Superman and Lois Lane kissing on the cover.
Right.
You open it up, and it's Superman holding Lois with a baby bump.
So this is the pre-52, they were married, da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
Exactly. So they're going to go into it all, and they're going to explain everything, and... We'll see what happens. What's it looks really cool. I got to see everything, plus the beginning of the Dark Side War after everything.
Now that I'm excited about, certainly.
That's by Brian Hitch. And they were just like, he has six issues in. Because I'm like, I'm not waiting like America's Got Powers 4 years later.
Oh,
Brian. But he has a big chunk already drawn.
Good.
And he's doing JLA, right?
He's doing Justice League, yeah.
Okay.
And that's the Dark Side War.
Oh, okay.
That comes back cool. And it does.
Well, it'll be like a crossover, I would think, between Justice League and
Justice League. They want to keep Justice League just Justice League.
Okay.
Not going to Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman.
Okay.
The way they do it now.
Yeah, really
does
it.
And
so
Cyborg
a lot of the stuff that's working
book.
Now will stay fine.
Right.
And they're just going to add to it. I mean, that makes sense. And I think with the end of Secret Wars, which we'll talk about here in a minute, I think it'll be similar. You'll have sort of your own take on continuity and you'll have your main continuity and all that stuff. I don't know. What else? Oh, you got to kiss. I got to kiss
things. Jim Lee.
And Dan DiDio.
Yeah, Dan DiDio. Aaron made me do that.
Well,
just to show some.
I went to Jim Lee. Now, I was under the. I would have been okay if he said no because he's an A-lister.
Yeah.
The fact that he let me, I was scared. I was so scared. And then I was done. And Aaron's like, go kiss Dan DiDio. I'm like, no. Go kiss. No. So I had to. He made me do that.
Oh. Anything else from that excitement?
No, I got to see everything. I got to see. All the issues that are coming out of for this Convergence. The cover of Convergence number one is every single Brainiac that's ever been created built up to the new Brainiac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I love that he does something to Superman and shows every single Superman that's ever created up until he's dead in Lois's arms.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, everything looks awesome. Wonder Girl, the Titans, and so excited. Wonder Woman looks like a man. Oh, my God. No, wait. A man. She looks like a man in the gold, but her jawline, man.
Had that problem in Injustice, that fighting game from the Mortal Kombat people. Everybody in the game, like females across the board, looked a bit mannish.
I am very much enjoying Multiversity, as we probably have discussed here, and definitely on Comic Book Bears. If you want to hear me gush about Grant Morrison enough, if you don't get enough here, go get Comic Book Bears. It is like a love fest for Morrison and Hickman. But Multiversity, the guidebook.
Yeah, that was great.
Fun.
Oh my God. Loved the, not Kirby-esque, because it really wasn't, but the Kirby universe, Earth 51, Paolo Sequeira's art for that is not Kirby-like at all, but it looks perfect for
the
Kirby characters.
Earth?
Yes.
Okay.
The Kamandi
and
Biomac and the New Gods looking down. Mm-hmm. And at first I'm like, well, wait, you saying the New Gods are in Earth 51? No. If you go back to the chart, the New Genesis, there's like a cloud over here on the outside and there's a line into the Ori of Worlds. And the world that is closest to them is Earth 51. That's why they had that like direct kind of link to that, but they are, you know, unique among all the Earths.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I love that piece so much. I actually bought it, the original page, and it's somewhere in Brazil right now, but it's on its way. And I'm very excited.
Brazil?
Yeah. Paulo Sequeira is Brazilian. I believe. I may be totally wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure that it said Brazil.
He's probably like, I'm from Queens.
So that was, I loved, and you know, the little bat, Batmite-ish or Lil Gotham, I guess. Right. And then the future atomic age Batman. Like, that was cool too. But, you know, the way they made the guidebook, it was fun. It was a story with the guidebook. And so you could see all the different Earths. And I guess they're bringing stuff like Prez back. Mm-hmm. Which yeah, I hadn't yeah. even freaking, like, I was like, Prez? What the hell is this crap? And it's a thing. And I, you know, I think Bill from Comic Bears was telling me about it and how I guess it's coming back.
Which I'm excited that one of the books is Midnighter's getting his own book.
Well, that.
I saw that.
But now, and it looks really dark.
I mean, like Midnighter book. Had a book. Let's be
he
honest.
He did.
It was a Wildstorm book, but he had a book and it was great. Garth Ennis wrote it.
Well, Garth Ennis is coming back with a book with the Hitman universe. Or Hitman.
Think, oh, what was yes, it? Hitman.
Right, Hitman. Yep, yep. It's that something six that he had, these really weird characters he created for that universe. He's doing a book, a series that's for mature.
Of course,
it's Garth Ennis, I would assume.
So, and I also enjoyed Thunderworld. I don't think we haven't talked since then. Yeah, Thunderworld was great. The Shazam stuff.
Oh, the Shazam, yeah. That was lovely.
Or Captain Marvel, which is, I did love that he's Captain Marvel in the Thunderworld stuff, but he's Shazam in the rest of DC. What other DC books is anybody really excited about? I mean, I'm glad Damian is back. I actually really did enjoy that whole thing with the going to fight Darkseid.
The Island of Dr. Yeah. Monroe Damian.
Did he still have superpowers?
He just got them because the way they brought him back, they use this Darkseid, you know, apocalypse crystal, yada, yada, yada.
But that's a permanent thing. He's
yeah.
Robin with superpowers.
It'll be permanent for a while.
Right.
Well, of course. But I always liked Damian and I was sad that Morrison decided to take him off stage, but you know, whatever. Anything else, DC?
No, Action Comics. Omega Men are coming back. Omega Men is getting a series.
I think, yeah, okay.
And then in the 40 that are coming, what I'm kind of excited, the question, Renee Montoya question, written by Greg Rucka.
Oh, okay, that's fantastic.
So I'm like, that's fucking
awesome.
Girl,
what's
awesome.
Mystic you?
I don't know. Oh. I don't want to know. Okay. There are some things, though, like, Batmite could be cute, but it's written by Dan Jurgens.
Yeah. See, I don't think those...
Like, thankfully, it's only six issues.
But it could be like a tongue-in-cheek thing, like Ambush Bug kind of thing. I think that's probably what it would be.
But that would be Keith Giffen. Why Dan Jurgens?
I don't know. Actually, Keith Giffen's doing some interesting stuff over with the... was it Justice League 3000? How it's they're kind of bringing in the old 52 with that, with Booster and Beetle.
Well, yeah, that's and then to, I do you still read it, Oral?
And then
of what?
3000?
Oh no.
Yeah,
and what, then the other two from the Justice League International, the girls,
Ice,
yeah, and Fire. See the other one?
I know Ice just was on the cover of the last one.
Or Starfire. Anyway, they're bringing the characters into the new far future, whatever.
And then Fables, it's ending soon. Yeah. Fables, the very last issue. Is the size of a graphic novel.
Wow.
So it'll be considered volume 22 when this is all said
by
and
itself.
Done.
That's kind of cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Marvel, kind of we got a lot of crazy stuff in Marvel. We do want to talk about Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
But before we get to that, I do want to address that Brian Michael Bendis is leaving the X-Books.
Yeah, I know.
I am interested to see.
I'm going back to my time, aren't I? I'm leaving, aren't I? God damn it.
I'm interested to see what happens, how they put all the things back in the box, if they put all the things back in the box.
Is he leaving all books or just X-Books?
He's leaving X-Men.
Okay.
So he's sticking on Guardians and all that?
Yeah, yeah. He's still Marvel exclusive and he just re-upped, but he's leaving the X-Books. So there's a big question of now, because there's the whole conspiracy theory where, Secret Wars is going to put the X-Men in a pocket universe where they're back in the 60s, or they're going to do this, that, and the
other. They're basically going to bury them so that the movie...
I think it's going to go back to the way, when I was growing up, it was Marvel to me was Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, you know? And then there was X-Men. X-Men was its own thing.
Right.
It never associated the both.
Even in the 90s, they only on the big event books played with anybody else outside the X-Men universe.
But right. Axel, I feel like they spent so much time bringing them together, but I think because of the TVs and the movies, they want to rip them off.
Well,
right.
And what's weird about it is Axel Alonso is a huge X-Men fan, and he's the one who pushed for Civil War, AVX. To bring them back into the integrated Marvel universe. So if they're undoing all that, it's kind of like,
And Missing Human, Scarlet Witch over there.
Who's your father?
It's an Inhuman.
Just an episode of Maury.
I really did.
Oh. Magneto, you are not the father.
I told you, beep, beep, beep.
House of M.
I would have loved the visual of that, but I think it was the
Magneto.
It was the
full
next
cape,
best thing.
Full cape and helmet doing a sea walk, just kind of like, yeah, that would
Lord.
Be great.
Uncanny Avengers is very enjoyable. The one issue that's been out, and you may have seen the second one, I don't know.
I've read the first 5 pages of the second issue.
I love Acuna's art. I think it's fantastic. And I love the High Evolutionary. I'm so glad they brought him back, although I do not have a damn clue what any of that stuff is that they're introducing. I'm like, oh, all right, Counter-Earth, whatever.
Well, you know, when the Uncanny Inhumans start.
But it's Charles Soule. It'll be fine.
So?
Well, no, it'll be good.
Uncanny Inhuman.
It is kind of an interesting
I'm like, oh.
expansion of the Uncanny brand.
X-Men in space. So, stick him in a fish and off they go.
Black Vortex. I am very, like, underwhelmed so far.
You know, that first issue.
First two. Right? We got two.
Yeah, we got two.
Far away from the third.
That first issue isn't what I thought. They're going for the legendary Star-Lord kind of, like, quirky... sort of comedy, like, angle.
Uh-huh. Which was fine. It was funny.
Which is fine, cause you know, like, I love Cosmic Marvel. I love, like, dark, gritty Cosmic Marvel. But, you know, sometimes I'm learning to make room for different interpretations of what, like, Cosmic Marvel
can I didn't like The Abnett and Lanning, and I know you love it, and so does Jeff.
Yeah, see, I love that.
But I didn't at first, cause I thought it was too jokey.
I tried to get him to appreciate. I gave him like the entire run of Annihilation all the way through. I think the Black Bolt, Realm of Kings.
Yep.
And he's like, I just can't get into it.
No, I've had issues with those events.
I have since, but I think this is just an extension of that. It's gone away from the Jim Starlin, you know, crazy Kirby-esque.
Technically, it hasn't because they keep letting Jim Starlin write.
There's a Thanos book. Thanos versus Hulk. Thanos goes to McDonald's. Thanos got a Happy Meal.
Did he use his Thanos copter? Did they bring back the Thanos copter?
He might as well.
Oh man, I missed that. I missed that.
I do like his Thanos because his Thanos is a little more,
because you know why? Because it looks like that trash OMAC you tried to get me to read. Oh!
So you're
without
saying,
the mohawk.
So you're saying I shouldn't buy that Thanos graphic novel that he put out a couple years ago?
Just this past year.
Oh, was that past year? I shouldn't.
The six of them he's put out in the past year? Yeah, I was like, don't sue us. Don't take him away.
I think that's, yes. It's like the Claremont thing. Why they kept giving Chris Claremont books to write when...
Chris is like, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine.
He wrote that.
So let's talk about Secret Wars and let's explain what's going
on. Yes, please, because I know that they're trying to merge the universes.
Girl, I'll take it from here.
You got it?
But that's all I know.
You got it?
This is what Secret Wars is. When Marvel Now started in Avengers and New Avengers, they were dealing with the same issue, which is... The multiverse is dying. Like, there's something has started this collapse. And
that was the planet's, the Earth's
incursion.
The incursions. But it's not, the touch point is Earth, but it's actually one universe crashing into another one. Right. And they always touch at Earth. That's what Infinity was about. The builders thinking, if we destroy this Earth, we'll save this universe and maybe all other universes to come. That hasn't happened. And the Illuminati did that as well, which is, you know, we'll destroy this other Earths to save our own. And now we've done this time jump and there's like 12 universes left. And what it is it's the bottleneck. It's Flashpoint. It's Convergence where they take all of these. Like,
what was that? It's what?
Yeah. I mean, they steal from each other. It's fine.
But actually, that's more my question of. When I heard about them making the announcements that they were going to do this, I for years had said, you know, DC does this shit every year. They do these retcons. Yep. They fully just flip the table and start over.
This is Hickman's Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
But he said that, basically.
But I never thought Marvel would do it.
Well, see, here's the thing.
I don't
when
think they're
DC
going to.
DC does this, they reset everything, except for Batman and Green Lantern.
Things that work.
And Green Lantern's only a newer thing.
Yeah.
Green Lantern used to be, right. I mean, Zero
right
Hour.
Then,
yeah.
That was the big fuck Parallax, you to all the Green Lantern continuity.
But what it is that they're pushing things through. They're collapsing their universes into kind of like one cohesive one. So like, the Ultimate Universe and the main 616 will be together. There are aspects of different parts of Marvel's continuity and timelines where they're finally, they're anchoring 2099. 2099 is a thing.
It's no longer a potential future.
It'll always be a potential timeline, but it's so concrete that they're bringing it in. House of M still exists. Age of Apocalypse still exists.
Old Man
Don't
Logan.
Really know. Yeah, Old Man Logan.
Civil War. All of it exists.
Inferno. Armor Wars. Like, all of it.
Inferno.
Yeah. All Shut of up, it clone. Exists. And they're going to battle it out to see who survives. So it'll be a brand new universe, but from what they've told us, everything that we have been through still stands.
Yeah. So it's like all the event promotional parts of the retcon. Right. We're going to do this. Stay tuned. See what we're going to do.
Well, and that was
but they're going to keep a lot of everything.
The announcements that it was like every week it was a new, oh, well, they're digging this up. Like
Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk or Captain America with
Devil Dinosaur.
With Devil Dinosaur. Yep. And it's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. So this is going to be a period that's very much like when they had Age of Apocalypse. They're going to have this crazy mashup, this, that, and the other. Couple months go by, however long it goes. I guess
Heroes Reborn by Rob Liefeld.
Basically. Oh God! Oh, don't you reference that shit.
They're actually pulling that though into the Fantastic Four wind down.
Oh God!
Yeah. Oh no!
Oh yeah!
Oh, God.
Oh yeah! The whole pocket universe and Franklin Richards and all that stuff. Oh yeah! But no, this is what Secret Wars is going to be. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, crazy, zany comics, and then things are going to go back to relative normal.
But over at the end of
8 hours, because they have 8 hours from the time the incursion starts. To figure out what to do before everything ends.
But I think that actually is the first issue, is it ends, and then this stuff after. So, that's what Hickman was talking about.
At the end of it all, is there still going to be a multiverse? Are there still going to be these other universes?
I think they're really trying to sync the TV movie, everything is one.
We don't know.
Me growing up, Marvel was timelines, DC was Earths.
Right.
That was the two things. And like now Marvel has dabbled more and more. And I think they're just pulling back with the whole timeline thing.
But you see, and that's what the one thing I always loved about DC is even though they would flip the table so often, they always had Elseworlds to fall back on. And Elseworlds were some of their best stories.
Right.
Right.
And it concerns me when a publishing line as a whole decides to go, you know what? We're just going to put it all in one. And that's right.
Well, that's what DC did. And then now they've backed out.
Do they still do what ifs?
Occasionally. They did Age of Apocalypse. No, Avengers vs. X-Men.
They're always like one-shots, right?
Think of it as a realignment. Think of it as a realignment to...
It's a breast augmentation.
Yeah, you know,
a little
like,
nip, a little tuck.
You know, I mean, Marvel, this one's hanging down lower. They got to ring it up.
Marvel now was a realignment. This is just a realignment on a bigger scale.
Heroic Age was a realignment. Everything's a realignment, but that's what they do every
time. But I will say this. I have more faith in Secret Wars than I do Convergence.
Oh God, yes.
Only because Convergence, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Like, I read the solicits, I see what they're talking about, I don't understand any of it.
And right. Hickman has been planning this thing, Secret Wars, since he got on Marvel. This was his plan all along.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of editorial going,
1972,
okay,
when he was the mailroom clerk.
He likes the plan. He had all his toys lined up and he's getting
so
that going.
So that's that.
I
want
to do this one day.
So speaking of Marvel, Secret Wars is great, and they're not going to bring in Star Wars into all this, but they have relaunched Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have now Star Wars number one and Darth Vader number one. Actually, Star Wars number two as well.
And Darth Vader number one.
I haven't read those last two. I read Star Wars number one. That was really good.
Darth Vader number one by Kieran Gillen and LaRocca, also very good.
Yeah, it's good to see Kieran really still getting good work then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Divine...
Wicked and Divine.
Holy crap, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that in these. But I really have enjoyed the new Star Wars stuff. And then isn't Mark Waid doing like Princess Leia one, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, Leia's coming.
So that...
See, I love Mark Waid as a writer.
Yeah.
But it's the Dotson. I just...
Well, I'll push past because I do like Wade a lot. But no, they're making a cohesive Star Wars like group of series, and they're all tying into each other.
This is all supposed to be between what, episodes 1 and 2? Or four and five.
Yeah. New Hope and Empire.
Right.
But no, I so far I've been very happy with it. And the art, although the second issue, what's his name? Cassaday's art was starting to kind of degrade a bit.
Of course, he had to finish. They're like, get it off, get it off.
Basically, he's going to be dropping off, I'm sure, here soon. But Jason Aaron's writing it, and it's just it's very solid. Mm-hmm. And then She-Hulk is ending, which is another one of my favorite Marvel books.
I'm so sad. It's been so good.
I thought it ended already.
We got one more issue.
That was under Charles Soule's. And it's still ending?
It didn't have the readership. Plus, he got to tell his 12-issue stories. He said he wanted to do more, and there may be time in the future. Plus, the big announcement of the A-Force! All female Avengers.
I heard about this.
Soule writes that.
A-Force!
Yeah, there is Phoenix on the cover.
Phoenix, Jean Grey Phoenix, and Scarlet Witch side by side.
You know what? Here's my thing. There goes the world.
But there goes the world.
I'm excited for that first. Well, one of them has to die.
It'll be like Arena. They'll have them all battle.
But my thing is, I'm mad as fuck that Sister Grimm got a better place on the cover than Scarlet Witch. I'm behind Sister Grimm.
Girl, at least you're right above me. I'm holding your piggyback.
Who the fuck's Sister Grimm?
I don't even...
She's from The Runaways.
Oh, okay.
Everywhere, in unison.
Oh.
Was she in Arena? No, she wasn't in Arena.
She was in both Arena and Undercover.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought that she was in. What other Marvel stuff is good right now? I mean, the Avengers and X-Men. Well, Avengers is all leading up to Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And they are starting to deal with the stuff with the Ultimate Universe.
And it's been really good.
Evil Mr. Fantastic plays a big role, which is cool.
Is he still evil? I thought they actually, like, turned him back towards...
Well, no, it's Ultimate Reed.
Right, yeah, no.
It's all been a lie.
It's all been a lie.
Oh, okay.
And then the X-Men, they finally resolved the Miles Morales thing, and now it looks like they're going to do something. Well, they're doing the Black Vortex.
They're doing the Black Vortex, and in Uncanny, they had that mutant that Professor Xavier kept under wraps, but because he's dead, kind of went crazy.
Another mutant he kept secret?
Yeah, that he kept secret. So now Tempest goes back and takes Professor and brings him.
So now Professor X is alive, past Professor X. Is it the same Professor from the timetable of all the other timeline of the other X-Men?
You know what? They really focus on when it's not one of his students, he's a dick.
Yeah, and Tempest was right there. Yeah, I heard about that Professor too. I was like, whoa. So I liked it. Yeah.
But they killed Cyclops. They killed
Emma. Magic.
Mm-hmm. Say what?
This mutant's so powerful. He basically, between him and S.H.I.E.L.D. attacking them, killed them all, or killed those three. But I mean, again, Tempest is probably going to undo it. It's going to be a whole big thing.
I like Bendis. I thank him for all the great work he did on All New X-Men. And even though Uncanny has had its ups and downs, overall, I've enjoyed it. But it's time for him to go.
It beats X-Force.
But then I'm going to go right back to the 60s more. Bouffant.
Are you even still on X-Force?
No.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Who's writing? Who is
Cy Spurrier's writing at the art? I don't know who it is, but they need to never do comics again. Now, what's funny is the last time I thought that, it was with Frank Quitely when I read All-Star Superman or some of the early stuff. So I could change my mind very quickly on this.
You know, I like Kim's art.
It's very stylish.
It's very stylish.
Very stylistic.
And it works for X-Force. I like Cy Spurrier. I think there's a place for him. He's just not my thing.
It's just way convoluted. And crazy.
Here's showing how far out removed I am. Is the X-Factor relaunch still going?
No, that just ended.
That was really strong overall, I think. That was really good.
So is, what's his name still working?
I fell out there.
Peter Davis. Yeah, he's doing the Spider-Man 2099 stuff.
And he's writing, he's writing Secret Wars 2099.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because he did a lot of the original 2099 stuff too.
He did Spider-Man 2099. Yep. He's writing Spider-Man 2099 now.
Yep.
In May, that will end. When Secret Wars starts, it'll be Secret Wars 2099.
Yeah. And the last time I checked into Spider-Man 2099, he was in current day.
Yes.
Mm. Is he still in current day?
Yeah, I think so.
As of the end of Spider-Verse?
Oh.
Okay. No.
Not pretty.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't read Spider-Verse. Some people keep putting it in my poll, and I'm like, honey, I tried to make him read it.
You need to do yourself really a favor and read Spider-Verse. Because it's... Yes, it's fan service to a point, but nothing was bad. Everything was good or great. And at the end, it's funny because I'm not the biggest Peter fan. And when you're not a huge Peter fan, reading Spider-Man, it comes in waves.
You're a Pandora Box fan.
Yes, I am. I got a fan. But this was a great Spider-Man event. It was better than Spider Island. It was better than, you know, and I like
Spider Island.
Yeah. No, I did too. But it was everything you've ever loved about Spider-Man at any given point in your life was in one event with like a really smart, set of villains. I like the tie-ins. The, you know, they gave you all of these cool,
like, Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, they give you these new spider characters that are coming out of it. You got, like, really cool, like, alternate universe.
You got more Doc Ock Spider-Man.
Yeah, you got Superior versus Peter, which is great.
You didn't buy any of these books.
He didn't. Not a damn one.
No, actually, I think I got one by, I was like, all right, I'll check it out.
So none of them on your Comixology account?
No, like, you know what? I will say this. When that, if Jeff, if you haven't, cause I know you haven't bought anything in a while.
A long time.
Do yourself a favor. And if you've ever been a Spider-Man fan, I'm not going to say anybody, when that trade drops, it's $75, but it's worth it.
What the fuck are trades going for nowadays?
It's everything. Is it
an omnibus?
It's a big, all of it. It's all of Spider-Verse.
Is it an omnibus?
Well, technically, it kind of counts.
It's their middle.
Because it's like 19 issues.
Hardcover?
Yeah. It's hardcover. Expanded.
Will it look good on a bookshelf?
It will.
Because that's what omnibuses are worth.
Well, yeah, because they did it for Infinity. They do all these omnibuses first, and then in a year or two, they'll break them up. But it's better to get everything.
It's totally worth it. And you know what? If you
I'll read your copy.
Split it with Brian. Brian can get the digital download.
They do that now. They put a digital code.
And you can get the hard copy.
You know, my birthday's coming up.
Oh,
how about that?
Go halvesies.
So I'm excited. I do want to catch up on that at some point. How did they resolve Superior Spider-Man? Did they just put him back in time?
Okay, so we've got the conclusion.
Yep.
The epilogue is the next issue, and that's when that's when everything will settle.
I mean, the timeline purist in me means, he has to go back and finish his run.
Like, I mean, we know that's how it works. But
I'm curious to see if there's an out, because I still love the Superior Spider-Man character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost more than Peter Parker at times.
No, he's my favorite.
And
I love
Dick Doc Ock.
Dick Doc Ock. Yep.
And I love the Spider Punk, the anarchic Spider Man.
That was your favorite one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Spider Punk.
Fight the power.
All right. So any books? We have a couple here. Eric, Oral, you want to talk about the Valiant's Divinity book?
Yeah, Valiant came out with his book Divinity, which is cosmonaut goes out into space on a 30-year mission. Comes back with the powers of a god.
Oh.
Like you do.
Yeah. Gorgeous art. Like interesting story. I think it's Matt Kent.
Oh.
So I'm totally down for that.
Is this based on an old Valiant character?
I'm not sure.
It sounds vaguely familiar. I have an image in my head, but I might be thinking of X-Men Manowar.
It's really good. Valiant's killing it. But they never get the credit that they deserve.
Well, I like the writers they have. I don't know if it's the characters themselves I don't care as much about, and it's that whole thing. But like, I read a little of Archer and Armstrong. It's great. Fred Van Lente's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Ivar Timewalker, I heard, is really good.
Yeah, I didn't read that one. Imperium.
The Valiant was good.
Yeah, the Valiant's great. Imperium just came out.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Lemire's writing the new Bloodshot Reborn that's coming. Like, Valiant is great. If you love stories, read Valiant.
And there's not so many characters that it's such a big universe that you have to worry about keeping track of all this stuff. So, now I am trying to wrap my head around Grant Morrison's indie work right
now. Dream Astronauts. Thieving Dream Astronauts.
It started really creepy and interesting, and then it gets, as I put it, Grant Morrison-y. I didn't do enough drugs to get through the rest of it.
It's one issue, and it's kind of like if you only knew Grant Morrison from reading the first issue of pretty much anything he's done. Like, Sea Guy, for example.
Man, that is nail on the head peg for Grant Morrison.
Wow. You just go, I have no fucking clue what this is.
First episode in and done.
But, the art by, Burnham is beautiful. It was very good. I mean, his art is just great. If you like Frank Quitely, but you don't want to wait a million years in between issues, it's not quite to his level.
Everybody has dick sucking lips.
Wow. They should.
And wonky squash
face. Come on, Jean Grey looked like the Muppet.
I know.
From the band.
It's not very realistic, but it's in its own style. It's like, you know, the freaking Pax Americana Oh, it was just gorgeous.
But no, I love his art in, was it Jupiter's Legacy, right?
And Jupiter's Legacy, very similar.
But I think it's changed too.
Oh, he's evolved his style. Yeah. But Burnham's, but he's doing the same thing. It's really crazy. Now, Annihilation, on the other hand, is actually interesting because that's very Morrison in that you have a writer whose creation is an actual entity who's come back to try to like figure out his story, and he's working with the writer to do it, but he's in the real universe, and there's this apocalyptic teddy bear and this other.
So this is in Grant Morrison's life.
I'm
just
gonna start playing the organ grinder.
But it's got art by Fraser Irving, and I love Fraser Irving art. So, you know, if you like Fraser Irving, and last time he did stuff together was on the Seven Soldiers, and that was awesome because he did the Clarion Witch Boy one. It's perfect. They have a really good fit. Plus it vaguely reminds me of the Event Horizon movie.
Really?
Not in a good way. Like I didn't like that movie, but like that, it's sort of like the backdrop of the sci-fi story that the screenwriter's writing.
So it's like a combination of gothic sci-fi?
Kind of, yeah. It's weird. Actually, it does remind me of Seven Soldiers because they have this whole crazy and multiversity, the gentry, this idea of some extra universal evil that's coming and doing this and that. So I'm enjoying it. Now, Hickman's Dying in the Dead.
Great.
Loved
it. Was it good? I didn't get to read it yet.
Loved it. It is, oh God.
Is it, am I on for the long haul if I read this?
They explain
am I on a roller coaster with Hickman?
I don't know, because his indie stuff typically doesn't go as long.
Okay.
Usually. Plus, he's working with Bodenheim, who he had done with the Secret with. And that was pretty self-contained once it finally came out. But this is it's an older man whose wife is dying of cancer. And somehow, he makes a deal with this group of Eternals that live underground to cure his wife, but only if he does this one mission for them.
And they're very, it's like, what if the elves were real?
Yeah.
And bastards.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They like, weren't bastards? they weren't bastards?
Early pace.
I love elves. They're my thing.
Girl.
They've been around forever. They're the immortal race.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have trees of life. All religion they claim comes from them. Yeah. They live in these amazing subterranean world.
That was beautiful.
And they just can't be bothered with humanity. They find us disgusting. They're not even amused by us, but they'll deem us worthy to do their dirty work for them.
Pretty much.
And they're liars. Wow.
But this all is the second half. The first half is this crazy, like, just narration about living your life with your significant other and how, you know, you start out in love.
That's what at least a man
deteriorates and goes bad, whatever. But it's over the course.
They change wigs?
It's over the course of a wedding who, it looks like sort of a mafia or just rich, really uber rich guy.
On Cuba.
Oh, is that where it's set?
It looked like
totally
it was Cuba.
Missed that. I was like in Mediterranean. But basically they have their wedding night and the bride, it betrays the old man, and it's all for the secret organization to get some artifact. And this artifact is the thing that the older guy in the second half is actually trying to retrieve. So it's this whole, so they're related, but it was told very artistically. Mm-hmm. I really like Bodenheim's art. So I'm really glad he's still working with Hickman, especially after the secret thing sort of just petered out and delayed like a year, you know. So hopefully that won't happen with this, but so far it's been really good. I know, Oral, you really like Shudder.
I do like Shudder. Shudder is, if you like Saga and you want to see Saga on Earth, that's what Shudder is. And that's not fair because it's, like, it's an overgeneralization, but the art is gorgeous. It's a really fantastic story set in a fantastical world where you have, like, where it's grounded in this, like, family, and all families have their secrets, and this family's secrets are coming back to haunt, like, this girl who thought she was an only child, and then you find out that's not the case. And there are like clock robot cats and dragons.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah. It's you would like it.
I know. It's on my list to read. I'm very excited to check it out for your recommendation. Have any of you read Warren Ellis's Blue Rose or Supreme?
Supreme Blue Rose? No, yeah. I was waiting for a trade.
Holy crap. So, Comic Bears, they were telling me about it. And I'm like, you know, I'll check this out. All right. I love Warren Ellis. I don't know anything about Supreme really. So I was kind of like, well, all right.
I should download the whole run of Supreme.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Well, Alan Moore stuff was supposed to be really,
yeah, he did a bunch
really
of stuff.
Good. And, you know, obviously Liefeld's not so much, but what's cool about this is it's kind of doing like what Prophet did, what the new Prophet did for the old Liefeld property Prophet. It's taking the Supreme characters and almost like, sort of like Multiversity, sort of like, Secret Wars. It's the, you know, they've made a new universe with these same people in it. And some of the characters have memories of their old incarnations. And there's this story playing out where they're trying to figure out why this happened, what's going on. And I don't know any of the Supreme characters, but like they've mentioned a couple of them who've come back and they're all analogs of like Superman, you know, like a Lois Lane analog, you know, Superman analog, you know, et cetera. But the art, God, I can't think of the name of it. Stephen Mowry, who listens, one of our listeners and one of, was on Comic
Was
Affairs.
It Rios? Is it Rios?
No, it's not, I don't think it's Emma Rios. Her art's very distinct and it's similar, but it's the hues, the colors, it's just gorgeous, like almost pastel in some places.
Yeah, one of our Eric and I's favorite customers,
Claire.
Shout out to Claire. I know you're not
Claire.
Listening.
Hi, Libby.
She's Why? One of our, she's part of our trans community, our trans listeners.
Oh.
She loves it. She Good. Loves it. And she's like, are you reading? I'm like, no, hon, I have to wait for a trade. It's too late.
Well, I'm loving it too. And speaking of our trans community, I did want to point out the giveaway we did. We actually made it so that there is a gender block. So you put your gender, but it is still in the blank. It is not a MF.
Fantastic.
And I specifically said I want that in there because obviously we have a lot of trans listeners and I don't know enough to go in and put whatever permutations That's we awesome. Need. So That's fill in the blank. Awesome. And I think that should be a movement. I actually feel like that's a smart way to start getting this issue out into the world and, hey, form people. I mean, there's tons of us web programmers who make forms for this, that, and the other.
Right.
Just get away from the little, you know, male or female thing. Just put a little fill in the blank and then figure it out on the back end, you know?
Right.
So anyway, our form, if you go check out Geeky Gay Giveaway, yeah, it's up there and you can put whatever gender you like.
But we can't
be a part of it.
But we can't. We can't get the loot crate. Unless we order it,
like
or we know
said.
Somebody, which we know somebody. So,
trying to get Aaron to get us that Loot Crate, girl.
I want the Marvel one. Fuck Loot Crate. I want
you know
Marvel.
What? The Marvel one is $25, though. You know,
there's actually a Marvel.
I got his credit card.
It's called the Collector Core.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
With the first one's a giant, like Hulkbuster pop.
Oh.
Like, it looks great, but it is very expensive.
Well, it's every, when Loot Crate's like, once a month, right?
Yeah. It's like
that one's just every other month.
Okay.
But it's $25.
Okay, so I mean, so technically though, it's
$25. You know,
for,
it's not
for two
monthly.
Months.
Yeah.
So it's like
well, I know
50.
All I know is they could do a whole Age of Apocalypse thing through only through that thing.
I'm really?
Oh, man, that would have been good.
Whatever they give me, I want it.
It also makes for great work or gift exchange gifts. You accumulate so many little random geeky tchotchkes you can make. By the end of the year, even like a couple months, your own little giveaway
Here's
or
my
gift
trash.
Exchange.
Here's my
it's
trash.
My sloppy
my
seconds.
Here.
You know what? It worked out well. And the guy, it was Mark. Mark actually got it
yeah.
and he enjoyed it. So there you go. All right. So that's all we have this month, Flame On. We will try to get back together more regularly. We do have some exciting drag is the new spandex news that we
Woo!
Can't announce yet.
We can announce.
But
it.
We're really close to having some new Drag is in Hispanics interviews very, very soon. And Oral's mouth is wide open.
I will say this. So, side note before we wrap up. I was at Parliament House, you know, here in Orlando, Florida, for a friend's birthday. Because, you know, your girl says, I want to go out to the club for my birthday. I'm just like, girl, I'll take you out to the club. So, here I am sitting, having an okay night. And then the Footlight Players come out. And I'm just like, oh, they're playing Whitney. But then Giselle Barbie Royale came out as Whitney, and it was the closest I'll ever come to seeing Whitney Houston perform live. And then when I tell you my eyes welled up with tears, and I was on the edge of my seat, you know, anytime she does Whitney, I just love Giselle Barbie Royale so much.
She really did a good job. I don't know if I saw that one, but I've seen her do other Whitney, and
she just mannerisms
oh, yeah.
and everything. But yeah, with that, you know, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, find us on other things. Maybe we'll do a Twitch. I don't know how Twitch works.
Tumblr.
With that, Tumblr, I'll tumble for ya. I'll tumble for ya.
I mean, I can do a Twitch stream. I mean, I got Xbox One.
I don't know what that, I don't know.
That sounds like a porn.
Well, I tend to play games in the living room naked.
Let's save this conversation for another night.
All right.
And with that, I'm not doing that. I think it's
flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.